Well, we are continuing our study, exposing the schemes of the devil. So I hope you have your outlines there with you. Would you turn to the book of Luke, please? Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, of course, taking Jesus there, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. You know that Satan wants what God wants. Satan wants to be worshipped as God is worshipped. And he will try any means that he can to get people to worship him. It is a great temptation. Tempted the Son of God, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Lord, we pray that you would, again, this evening, open our eyes that the devil's schemes and goals might be exposed, that we might see him in his true light. And that, Lord, if there is any that has become involved in these things that we're going to talk about tonight, that, Lord, they would have a desire to be free and that you would set them free. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Satan's goal, for actually on number 7, is to gain direct influence. He wants to gain direct influence in the lives of people. And he has a number of schemes to bring this about. In 1982, newspapers across the country displayed full-page advertisements boldly stating, "The world has had enough of hunger, injustice, and war. There is an answer to our call for help. A world teacher for all humanity. The Christ is now here." This, of course, was not the Christ of the Bible, but it was an Indian guru named Benjamin Krem. He redefined Christ by saying, "The Christ, with a small c, is not God. He is not coming as God. He is an embodiment of an aspect of God, the love aspect of God. He is the embodied soul of all creation. He embodies the energy which is a consciousness aspect of the being we call God. He would rather that you didn't pray to him, but to God within you, which is also with him. He said it himself, the kingdom of God is within you." This was the beginning, really, of what we have come to know as the New Age movement. Several years later, I just felt led to buy a USA Today newspaper, and I bought one and opened it up. Actually, it was on the back page was the advertisement similar to this, "The Christ is now here." And so the New Age movement has been proclaiming that Christ is here for quite some time. At first, I was really fascinated by the subject and knew a lot more about it then than I do now. I read everything I could get my hands on about the New Age movement, and I discovered that they were a group that was very disorganized. And if they ever got their act together, they really could make an impact in the world. But they are a disorganized group of people, and yet they have deceived many into following and becoming involved in some New Age practices. Today, there are over 50 million people involved in some form of cultic organization in the world. Over 60 million people dabble in some New Age practice or occultic thinking. And so it's a serious thing. In fact, they're now saying that Haiti is not the number one voodoo nation in the world. That distinction belongs to the United States of America. And so the crossroads of occultic and New Age mysticism, that kind of thinking has entered into our culture, in our society, and in greater ways than we realize. Time magazine has featured the New Age movement in at least 2 issues. Dusty old occultic bookstores are not the only place to buy books on the New Age movement anymore. You can walk into B. Dalton and some of the major booksellers, and they have a special section there for New Age books. When we lived in Tomah, we used to go once in a while to Madison because they had our favorite gyro restaurant there. Right next door to this restaurant was this New Age bookstore. And one time I just happened, we just went in there for the fun of it to see what kind of books were there. And surprisingly, some of the books that you could find at Zondervan Bookstore was also found in this New Age bookstore, cultic bookstore. And even then, the deception was subtle. And Satan has some schemes, and the first one is blatant occultism. He would like to get people blatantly involved in the occult. And the devil, taking up Jesus into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. And I wonder how many people sell out to the devil for power. He said, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Can you imagine tempting the Lord, the Son of God, to worship the devil, to worship him? And again, that's what he desires. He desires to be worshiped. And who would have ever thought 30, 40, 50 years ago that Satan worship would be an open kind of worship? And yet today, there are satanic churches all across the country. People openly worship Satan. In a church where I was growing up in Union Grove, we had a person who was formerly a member of the Church of Satan. He had gotten saved and redeemed and started coming to church there, but he talked about how he was a member of the Church of Satan. There's more people than we realize that are worshiping Satan, members of his church. The word occult comes from the Latin word for secret and mysterious. The Bible forbids occultic practices because they draw on satanic power. We have talked about Paul's warning of the devil's schemes. We're not to be ignorant of his schemes. But do you know that Paul was really echoing Moses' words to the Israelites in the Old Testament? Worshiping Satan and the occult is nothing new. It might be more open in our society today, but Moses communicated God's extreme displeasure with the inhabitants of the land of Canaan who practiced abominable things and who were in effect Satan worshipers. Would you turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 18? Deuteronomy chapter 18, we will begin reading with verse 9. Moses is warning the people about some things that they are not to become involved with when they enter their new promised land. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. It was because of these practices, these things that God hated to an extreme degree, an abomination. These things are what caused him to drive the Canaanites out of the promised land and let his people Israel enter in. But he warns them against learning their practices. And I'm not going to go into detail about what those things are tonight. We don't really need to do that anyway. But God's judgment came down upon Israel for their failure to obey his commands concerning the occult. King Manasseh violated all the prohibitions against the occult, which brought about the exile of the Jews from their land. Now, let me just share with you some of the things that are blatant occultic practices, okay? Astral projection, a Ouija board, table lifting, speaking in a trance, automatic writing, telepathy, ghosts, materialization, clairvoyance, fortune telling, tarot cards, palm reading, astrology, amateur hypnosis, magic charming, mental suggestion, black and white magic, blood packs. Those are some of the things that people practice. They are part of the occult, things that Christians should have no business doing. Should not dabble in it at all. Stay free from it, clear from it. Satan wants to get people blatantly involved in the occult. If you can't do that, try to get them involved with veiled occultism, New Age and Christian mysticism. Acts 19:19 says, many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. They had a revival there. And those that were involved in occultic type practices, curious arts as the Bible calls it, they brought those things together, these articles together, their books together, and they burned them. That was the proper thing to do, just to burn them, to get rid of them. Acts 15, verses 19 and 20. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Seem to be hinting there at making blood packs. Acts 8:18-20, and when Simon saw that the laying on of apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me all this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Genesis 3:5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The New Age movement is an effort to infiltrate our society with Eastern mysticism. The New Age movement has its ancient roots in the occult. C.S. Lewis saw the battle lines clearly drawn. He noticed that in the final conflict between religions, he said it would come down to two, Hinduism and Christianity. Those two would offer the only viable option. You know why? Because Hinduism absorbs all religious systems, where Christianity excludes all others. So Hinduism will swallow them all up and include them all. Christianity says, no, this is the only way. And we maintain the supremacy of the claims of Jesus Christ. So the final conflict will come down between those two. The New Age movement has its roots in Hinduism, that kind of thinking that we are gods and there are many gods and they all can be worshiped the same. There are some key doctrines for the Christian to know and understand. These are doctrines that you must know what you believe in these areas. You have to believe in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You need to believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. These other religions will tell you that Jesus was a good person, he was a good teacher. They might even tell you that he was one of the gods, he was one of the ascended masters, but he's not the only God. You need to know what you believe about Jesus Christ, that he is the only way to the Father. He is the truth, the life, and the way. The fallenness of mankind. Mankind sinned. Adam brought sin upon this world. You need to hold to the doctrines of judgment, of heaven and hell. You need to understand the problem of evil, because today evil has been redefined. Know that which is evil. Don't study the details of evil, but simply understand and discern what evil is and just stay away from it. And the second coming of Christ. Know that Christ is coming soon. I read a lot, and one of the things that I read that I thought the New Age movement might try to pull off someday was that they were saying that, you know, there are so many people that believe in the coming of Christ that they were going to stage a coming. And I read about some of the ways they were going to make this work with holograms in the sky And with plastic surgery, they could put nail prints in somebody's hands. And they were actually thinking about staging this whole thing as a deception toward Christians, and then having Christ appear on the national TV stations of the world. Still wouldn't put it past them to try something like that. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. How are you going to know if it's the real Christ or the Antichrist that shows up? Because my Bible tells me that if I'm still here and somebody claims to be Christ, then they are Antichrist. They are not the Christ that we look forward to. So you need to understand these doctrines. The New Age movement is dangerous in that they try to get inroads in three major areas. And they're doing a pretty good job. They have inroads in education. Even in this tiny state of South Dakota, after we first got there, there was a nearby town that was bringing a new school curriculum. And we had some people from our church, people that we knew that were part of that school district. So they asked me to go to the meeting. And I went to the meeting that night, and what they were going to do was they were going to present New Age curriculum into the public school there. They tried to get into education. They tried to get into politics. And their attempt is to get into religion. And in Christianity, they try to make inroads even into Christianity. The changes are subtle. Nevertheless, they are a diversion from the truth of the Bible. Now, I'm going to mention a couple of names tonight. Hopefully you won't be offended, but I'll throw out a couple of names here. I used to have a lot of these quotes and statistics and things. One person, Kenneth Copeland, while condemning the New Age cult, may be espousing some hidden New Age thought. He has preached, God is God, He is a spirit, and He imparted in you when you were born again. Peter said it just as plain. He said, we are partakers of the divine nature. That nature is alive, eternal, and absolute perfection. And that was imparted, injected into your spirit man. And you have that imparted into you by God, just the same as you imparted into your child the nature of humanity. That child wasn't born a whale, he was born a human. Well now, you don't have a human, do you? No, you are one. You don't have a God in you. You are one. And I have places where you can look that up and find out for yourself. Earl Polk, another Christian writer, writes the same thing, declaring we are little gods. Just as dogs have puppies and cats have kittens, so God has little gods. Until we comprehend that we are little gods and begin to act like little gods, we cannot manifest the kingdom of God. You notice that this is really the same lie that Satan had in the garden. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. It's the same lie that he put forth in the garden, the same lie he's putting forth today. You shall be as gods, the desire to reach godhood for all of us. C.S. Lovett, while advocating meditation, confirms that the visualization he refers to is the same as used by the cults. He said, would it shock you to learn that God's healing power is available through your own mind, and you can trigger it by faith? If you had direct access to your unconscious mind, you could command any disease to be healed in a flash. Sounds like mind science? I admit that. It's true that the cults have discovered certain of God's healing laws and use them to lure people into their webs. But let me ask you, should born-again believers be denied healing simply because certain cults exploit these laws? Satan's goal is blatant occultism. If he can't get you involved in blatant occultism, it'll be veiled occultism, Christian mysticism, and New Age. And then number three, he wants to demonize believers. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Matthew 16, verses 22 and 23, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Now, I'm not saying that Peter was actually Satan, but what I'm saying is, and I believe what Jesus was saying here, Peter, the thoughts that you are listening to are not my thoughts. Those are Satan's thoughts. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense unto me. You're not savoring. You're not holding the things of God. Neil Anderson, in his book, The Bondage Breaker, begins with this story. A few years ago, I was speaking in a Southern California church on the subject of the New Age movement. My text was 1 Timothy 4:1, where it says that in latter times, some people will fall away from the faith, that they will pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. After my message, I was surrounded at the front of the sanctuary by people wanting to hear more about freedom from spiritual conflicts caused by demonic influences. Sitting about halfway back in the sanctuary was a 22-year-old woman who had been weeping uncontrollably since the service ended. Several people had tried to comfort her, but she wouldn't allow anyone to get near her. Finally, a church staff member cut through the crowd around me and said, "I'm sorry, folks, but we need Dr. Anderson in the back right away." As I approached the young woman, I could hear her sobbing, "He understands. He understands." We were able to get her out of the sanctuary and into a private office. After she calmed down, I scheduled an appointment with her the next week. When Nancy arrived for her appointment, her face was marked by ugly, open scratch wounds. "I've been scratching myself like this, and I can't control it," she admitted sheepishly. Nancy described the horrible childhood, which included an abusive father and a grandmother who identified herself as a black witch. "When I was 3 years old, I received my guardians, spirit guides," she continued. "They were my companions, telling me how to live and what to say. I never questioned if having spirit guides were anything but normal until my mother took me to Sunday school. Then I began to suspect that my inner companions might not be good for me. When I asked my parents about it, my father beat me. I never asked again." In order to cope with the increasing torment that her spirit guides brought to her life, Nancy resorted to rigid discipline. In her high school years, she came to trust Christ as her Savior. But instead of leaving her, her guardians continued to harass her. After high school, Nancy turned to the epitome of discipline, the Marines. Determined to become the toughest of the Lady Leathernecks, she won awards for her discipline. But her torment kept pushing her mind and emotions to the edge. She refused to tell anyone about her mental battle for fear that she would be labeled insane. Finally, the pressure overcame her and she snapped. Nancy quietly accepted a medical discharge and retreated to a lonely existence of inner turmoil and pain. This was Nancy's condition when she came to church and heard me talk about deceiving spirits, Dr. Anderson said. "Finally, someone understands me," Nancy concluded tearfully. "Would you like to get rid of your spirit guides?" I asked. There was a long pause. "Will they really leave, or will I go home and be thrashed again?" "You will be free," I assured her. About an hour later, Nancy was free and was hugging us with an openness she had never known before. "Now I can have people over to my house," she exclaimed joyfully. You know, things like this are becoming more common all the time. Believers are being controlled by thought patterns, habits, and behaviors which block their growth and keep them in bondage. There are two things that determine victory and fruitfulness in the life of a Christian. They are maturity and freedom. Satan is opposed to our maturity and will do anything that he can to keep us from realizing who we are in Jesus Christ. And since we wrestle against spiritual powers instead of flesh and blood, we must experience victory over evil before we can be fully mature. So the devil wants to keep us immature. He wants to keep us babes in Christ. So he does whatever he can so that we don't overcome evil. But then God wants us to be free. And he never wanted us to live in bondage. He wants us to come to a place of freedom and then to stay free. Galatians 6:1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." I think it would be helpful if, just in closing here, that I give you some common misconceptions about demons. First of all, some people believe, and this is a misconception, demons were active when Christ was on earth, but their activity has subsided today. Demons were active when Christ was on earth, but their activity has subsided today. Another misconception. What the early church called demonic activity, we now understand to be mental illness. And there are mental illnesses that have nothing to do with demonic activity. And there are mental illnesses that do have everything to do with demonic activity. But not all demonic activity can you say is mental illness. Chalk it up to that. Number three, Christians aren't subject to demonic activity. Just because we are Christians does not mean that we are free from demons tempting us and harassing us. That's why we're warned, don't give place to the devil. We are to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That just tells us that he's going to be active. And that we have to learn how to overcome him. Number four, demonic influence is only evident in extreme or violent behavior and gross sin. Demonic influence is only evident in extreme or violent behavior and gross sin. It can be, among other things, it's easier to pick out if it's violent or gross. Some things that aren't so gross. Sometimes it's just the thoughts that we can't get victory in our thought life. And number five, freedom from spiritual bondage is the result of a power encounter with demonic forces. A power encounter with demonic forces. No, it's not a power encounter. The issue is truth. Because it's the truth that sets us free. Satan can ruin us if he can get us to believe a lie. He controls people through lies. His lie is the focus of the battle. The battle between God and Satan, the battle takes place in the person's mind. And that's why the truth sets us free from the lies of the enemy. That's why it's so important to take thought, every captive, take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And it's from our position in Christ, from that position, we resist the devil. So we need to understand our position in Christ. That's submitting to him. From that position, we resist the devil, and he is to flee from us. So Satan's goal is to get direct influence. He'll do it in three ways: blatant occultism, veiled occultism, New Age and Christian mysticism, and by demonizing believers. I don't mean possession. I'm not talking about demon possession of believers, but I am talking about harassing, vexing, tempting. Those are the kind of activities he works on in the life of a Christian, the life of a believer. Have your head bowed and your eyes closed tonight. There's a lot more information I could share with you on these subjects. It's a fine line to know how much really is enough. When I was youth pastoring, I was asked to speak quite often at the Christian school in town for the chapel services, and they always wanted to hear about the New Age movement and things like that. I don't believe that we need to really know the details of evil, but we can discern it. Be simple concerning that which is evil and wise to that which is good. I think I know everybody here pretty well. But I also know that one time in my life, I was foolish enough to pick up an Ouija board with a friend of mine and play with it. And so I'm not going to just assume anything. I'm not going to assume that nobody here has not done such a thing. You've done something that you know that by tonight we would classify as being a part of the occult or New Age, I would ask you tonight to renounce it. I would ask you right now, tell the Lord what you did was wrong. Ask him to forgive you for it. You need to understand that what you did was you gave ground to Satan. You gave an opportunity for Satan to come in, cause you all kinds of trouble and grief. You gave him an opportunity. You surrendered a piece of ground. And you need to ask God to take back that ground. You need not only ask God to forgive you, but you need to ask him to take back the ground that you surrendered through that activity. Because when Satan gains a piece of ground, you know what he does? He builds a stronghold. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is a lie that we come to believe as truth. Okay, so he tempts us. We give in to the temptation. That gives him the right to gain a piece of ground in our soul, and from there he builds a stronghold. And so you need to do three things. You need to, first of all, ask God to forgive you. Secondly, you need to ask God to take back the ground. And thirdly, you need to ask God to tear down the stronghold, to reveal to you the lies that you have believed. And then what you do is you build a tower of truth where that stronghold of lies was. It's the truth. It's the truth, this plain, simple truth that brings freedom into our lives. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands tonight, but you know if you've been involved in something you shouldn't be. Maybe it's something like watching horror movies. You ought not to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth that does set us free. We thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And tonight I pray for those, anybody that may have been involved in something that they shouldn't be involved in, that tonight, Lord, you would give them the grace to ask for forgiveness. Lord, as they ask for forgiveness, we ask that you would take back the ground that they have surrendered. And I ask, Lord, that you would tear down the stronghold of lies. Give them the courage to build towers of truth in place of those strongholds. We pray, Lord, that you would grant victory. Lord, it's my desire as pastor of these people that every single one of them would have victory in their life. But in order to do this, they need to be mature. And Satan would try to keep them immature. Lord, help them to grow in their faith, to grow in the grace and knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be made mature and complete and perfect in you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Set my spirit free that I might worship thee. I think probably the major reason why Christians would ever get involved in something like this is because of curiosity. But you need to curb your curiosity. You really need to watch it, channel it in the right way. If you got any more questions, I'd be glad to talk to you. If I don't have the answer, I might be able to point you in the right direction. If you would like to know where I got these quotes, I have them with me tonight. You can look them up for yourself and find out what these men said. and how they said it. So I got that for you. Be glad to give those to you. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing on our week tonight. I'd like to remind you, tomorrow night we're starting something new. We're having visitation. If you'd like to join us, we'll meet at the church at 6:30, and we'll be going visiting. So, Father, we again thank you for the Spirit of truth that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth, and we thank you for your word, which is filled with all truth. Lord, we pray that you would bless each one as they leave here tonight. Bless their week, whatever they do. Keep them safe. Use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.